Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Thursday night football took place last night. There was a lot of flags.
The 8th penalty now, right?
No, it's the 147th.
Al Michaels on Prime getting a little frustrated.
Saying whatever he wants now
Giants
at this point.
And Cowboys.
There are fouls by both teams on the play.
I'll bet.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
7:12 on this Friday morning. Milwaukee Public Schools still in violation of state law as they have not come up with even a plan to put cops back in MPS. Madam Board President, how about an update? Nope, not at the present time. Marva Henderson, recorded by TMJ4 News at Thursday's board meeting. Now, remember how we got here. MPS kicked school resource officers out in the wake of George Floyd in 2020. They didn't want cops in the schools. Deal was made, law passed, signed by Governor Tony Evers, clearing the way for increases in state shared revenue to Milwaukee, as well as the city implementing a sales tax. That's what Milwaukee wanted. What they gave up, or what the deal was now state law, that MPS needed to put school resource officers, SROs as they're called, back in schools. They still haven't done it. Even Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson at this point recently saying MPS has to do this. TMJ4's Megan Lee pressed the board president as they were going into closed session.
When can we expect an update about SROs, considering it is state law that you guys have SROs?
We're going into a meeting now, and we have an extensive agenda, and we are prepared to do that at the present time.
No update on that. No update on MPS still delinquent financial records as well. Remember, after the revelation of the fiscal meltdown in the district, State Department of Public Instruction withheld some funding to MPS. MPS was supposed to come up with a corrective action plan. And at least one lawmaker is now blowing the whistle on that.
Now, is it possible that they're still working on it and they've told the state, hey, just here's where we're at the moment?
Interesting you say
that.
Et
cetera, et cetera.
State Senator Van Wongard in a news release earlier this month saying MPS has missed yet another deadline in filing that corrective action plan. It was due earlier this month. Late homework again at MPS. Wongard said, quote, according to the corrective action plan, the Department of Public Instruction has monitored the progress in filing this report 24 times in the last 3 months. And MPS still hasn't filed. We've had no updates other than they're working on it. Well, working on something and getting something accomplished are two different things. Where's the urgency? Where's the accountability? Where are the consequences? That from Senator Van Wongard. Seems to be one of the only people really making any noise about this. You'd think there'd be other legislators who made this deal months ago. I guess they've sort of washed their hands of it.
You think it's that it's a matter of just completely moving on to the next item? Or is it just, okay, like I said, is there at least some kind of conversation taking place behind closed doors?
Yes.
Where there's an expectation here?
Conversations, but they haven't come up with any.
Yeah,
how hard is it?
Right. No, and I get it.
You're
I'm not
required
defending
to do this. Yeah. No, I understand your thing. Like, these things take time. You want to do it right. I'll grant you that. But for how many weeks and months until somebody starts raising hell?
Not at the present time.
Sports is coming up next. It's sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Final series of the regular season begins tonight at American Family Field for your Milwaukee Brewers. So they're the 3 seed. That's pretty much official now. There's no getting around it. So they play Tuesday in a best-of-3 series that will begin Tuesday, go to Wednesday, and then maybe Thursday.
Who do we play, Eric?
Well, no one knows yet. No one knows. It could be the Diamondbacks. Who knows? Maybe the Mets or perhaps the Braves. And that's where things get a little awkward. So the Braves and the Mets will play a doubleheader on Monday. Maybe. Maybe. Here's where it gets strange. If they already know the 4 teams that are going to be in, the Brewers, of course, are the one, and then you have the Padres are officially in, So if they already know the other two teams, they might not play the doubleheader if it's all only for seeding. They'll find another way to determine seeding and who would come up here to play the Brewers.
But who's they? The commissioner?
The commissioner.
Just decides,
right.
Here's what's happening?
So if the Mets and Braves were not to play Monday, that's 18 fewer innings their pitchers must throw. 18 fewer innings their hitters must play, says The Athletic. One Brewers person tells The Athletic, it wouldn't be fair. We should just forfeit on Sunday then.
Agreed.
And save our pitchers. If they don't have to pitch and play on Monday, then why would the Brewers play at all on Sunday? Just give the game to the Mets. Here you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They don't have to play their game. Why do we have to play?
We did ask Matt Arnold about it on Wisconsin's
exhibition.
Morning News. Here's what Arnold said.
I mean, there's tons of scenarios right now, you know, so we're going to be prepared for our opponent, whoever it is. But right now, I mean, mainly we're just focusing on ourselves.
Yeah, okay. The Mets are
diplomatic
tonight.
Answer,
yeah,
as you would expect from
Arnold. Diplomatic. Also tonight, big night tonight at AmFam. It's country night. So if you have a special theme night ticket, you get yourself a cool country shirt. Country night tonight.
Who are the Brewers who would be country fans? You guys, right?
Oh, I bet I can
Woodruff
guess.
For sure.
Woodruff, absolutely.
Trying to think if any of the guys have country for their walk-up.
I don't think so. And if they did, it probably wouldn't be old school country. It'd be like some of the newer stuff, like.
Let's go put some miles on.
Okay. Anyway. Other sports news. Thursday night football took place last night. There was a lot of flags.
Eighth penalty now, right?
No, it's the 147th.
Al Michaels on prime, getting a little frustrated.
Saying whatever he wants now.
Giants
at this point.
And Cowboys.
There are fouls by both teams on the play.
I'll bet.
Okay. Cowboys would go on to
appreciate
win.
Appreciate it, Al.
Cowboys win 2015.
Packers and Vikings Sunday. Return of Packers great Aaron Jones. At the running back position, now with the Vikings, of course, Packers defensive lineman Preston Smith on his former teammate and still current friend.
Me and Aaron, we're pretty cool outside of football, and we're real family-oriented. My mom's cool with his mom, and they hang out like best friends, and me and Aaron are cool, too. We've hung out a few times and talk a lot. I mean, he's a great teammate. He's a great player.
And on Sunday, he's my opponent, right?
And I hate him on Sunday.
Yeah, Smith said, no worries there, right? Whistle blows. We're gonna play football. Yeah. But he did talk a little bit more about his mom and Jones' mom and how they're probably going to connect.
Mama Jones is going to be here in attendance. Of course, she's never going to really miss a game to see her baby play. Mama Smith isn't either, and they're real cool, so I'm pretty sure they'll be hanging out at some point.
Mama That's Jones, awesome. Mama Smith in That's the house. Awesome. Vikings and Packers, noon kick at Lambeau on Sunday.
There are fouls by both teams on the play.
I'll bet.
Lady in the second row. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know.
Yes, fire departments, first responders going door to door when possible in Florida. Trying to find those who are trapped or are in need following Hurricane Helene.
Door to door by boat.
Right, by boat, right. Trying to see if they can find people.
We are doing our very best to respond to all the calls. We currently have about 120 calls, an additional 90 on hold. 95% of those calls are storm-related.
So Helene is now a tropical storm, Helene, pelting Georgia with wind and rain after slamming into Florida's Big Bend region as a powerful Category 4 hurricane. As of now, at least three deaths. We're looking at the radar now. This thing is moving quickly. The outer bands are north of Indianapolis, north of Lafayette in Indiana, north of Champaign, or at least hitting Champaign, Illinois. So it is moving
this
very fast.
This thing appears to be touching maybe half a dozen states, if not more. You've got Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas even catching some of the sort of the kickback from the low pressure system. Obviously the Carolinas and Georgia as well. Kentucky, Tennessee. It's huge.
Yep. And they continue to deal with issues in the south.
High winds and storm surge force authorities to shut down multiple bridges near Tampa, including the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. On nearby Interstate 4, a highway sign fell onto a vehicle, killing the driver. Rescuers used boats on Fort Myers Beach to help people stranded by floodwater. Now, Helene is setting its sights on Georgia, with hurricane warnings reaching 150 miles inland.
That's ABC's Rena Roy. So speaking of Georgia, that's where CBS's Dave Malkoff is.
We had people who had to be rescued from their homes, not just in the rescue boats, but also with neighbors coming down, knocking on their doors. There have been three deaths in this. There are two in Georgia. That was when a trailer overturned. And yeah. It's still pouring here.
So, and it's still pouring, but it is moving rather quickly. Like if you check some of the hourlies in Atlanta, by mid-morning to this afternoon, sun's out. Like that, it is moving that quickly. And as far as Wisconsin, little to any will have very little effect. Maybe just a little bit of chances for rain tomorrow.
Right. Wisconsin, why would we get a hook? Because that has happened before. Where and you look at how big this thing is, and it can stretch so far north of what was initially the eye. That we have had rain bands touch Wisconsin before, mm-hmm. but it doesn't look like it's tracking that way. I don't know how it's not. Like, will it not go north? Because this thing is going to center over Tennessee, Kentucky a little bit later today.
The outer bands are a little more finicky.
Yeah, maybe.
Some of the video and some of what we're seeing women and their babies being rescued. We're seeing guys and their pets being rescued. In one video, we have a man inside his unfinished home floating on a kayak, trying to just show what's happening to his house. It's all drywalled and everything, which is just devastating. You're in the middle of building a house, and it's got 5 feet of water in it.
You mentioned the bridge that was closed, the Sunshine Bridge. There was video that you and
people
I were
driving
looking at.
On it.
People driving on it. Like, where are you
Isn't
going,
that amazing?
Sir?
Well, I got to get to the other side. So
no, you do not.
I was surprised at how long it took for them to close that bridge, but they did ultimately.
Brewers President of Business Operations Rick Schlesinger has a lot going on at the yard this weekend. Before the playoffs begin, we'll check in with him at Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Unbelievable story coming out of Milwaukee's north side. This is near Villard and Tetonia. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's got it. Michael Ellis told police that he had been hoarding dogs in his house because he had gotten divorced and he just couldn't keep up with it, unable to keep up with the care of these animals after his divorce. Animal control officials aren't buying that story. They believe he was breeding them for money. They found more and more dogs in this house, many of them no longer living. Many of them, and I apologize for saying this, I know it's early in the morning, were just skull and bones inside his house as they went through this. This paper story is incredible. They say that as some animal control officers went through, they were overcome with a foul odor. They saw dogs, some of them deceased. And there was one lit candle believed to be an attempt to mask the odor that was lit in the room there. The guy, like, lit a candle, according to the paper. Oh, no, it's fine. This is the quote that got me. They found 25 dead dogs in this house on the first floor when Maddock went in there. And Maddock, they've seen some stuff.
They've seen
right?
the worst
yes.
of these situations.
This is the quote in the paper from the Maddock executive director, Karen Sparapani. It was honestly the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like something out of Silence of the Lambs. It was horrifying. And then she goes on to say, because you knew that every remain that you saw in there, every bone that you saw in there was an animal that was alive at one point in that house living that way. So this guy's in custody. He's going to go through court, it looks like, next week or so after having more than 50 dogs in his house, dozens of them dead.
It's every couple, 2-3 years, right? We have one of these.
Ah, yeah. And it sounds like he was breeding them to make some type of money and was doing that illegally too, of course.
News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. .743 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Just a quick reminder as well, Debbie talked about it earlier today. 894, the eastbound lanes now. The southern bypass is going to close for the weekend as they get that resurfacing done. Please, yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah, last weekend we survived the weekend shutdown of 894. Mm-hmm. Going the other way, all lanes luxurious now.
Yep.
As was said. So, big reminder that happens. It starts taking effect tonight and should go through the weekend. Should be back open. Looks like weather is going to cooperate, so they should be able to complete that project in time for the morning rush on Monday.
And that's your route. You roll there.
Right there on the south side.
Every day, right?
I'll fix my bridge. The Loomis Bridge has been out
forever.
For all summer, and that's like, not for nothing, how I get to the ballpark right down 43rd Street. So,
I get it.
Need to tighten that up. That time frame on that is a little bit longer, but something to be aware of this weekend coming up next.
Rick, can I go to Spencer's Gifts and get you a mug that says number one stepdad on it, and then on the back of it says Rick, 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 Rick?
Brewers Hunt for Brew October on WTMJ is sponsored by Delta Dental. Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Thursday night football, the Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15. After taking the series from the Pirates, the Brewers back home one last series at American Family Field in the regular season.
We're not the A's.
Don't say that. It's the Brewers and the Mets starting tonight on WTMJ. And it's also...
I mean, there's all kinds of crazy...
Well, no, there's also country music now.
I said, hey, pretty lady...
Country night tonight at AmFam.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, got his boots on already this morning. In this playoff edition of Brewers 360. Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Hey, so this morning, some certainty for the crew. We now know we are playing Tuesday. We're going to host this best of three wild card series at American Family Field. We don't know who we're going to play. Do you have an indication as to what time, or is that also dependent on who our opponent is?
It's a really good question. They're going to formally announce game times, I think, Sunday. And obviously, with an uncertainty as to who we're playing, game times are still sort of being vetted. I would still think that we're going to be a late afternoon, early evening game, I would guess, which is obviously more convenient for the fans who work and want to be able to come to the game, but we'll know for sure on Sunday. Yeah, because you've got the Diamondbacks, the Braves, and the Mets all trying to vie for those spots, and somebody's going to finish last in the wild card, and then that team will play us.
How late could a game go? Could there be like a 9:05 start at AmFam?
I don't think so. They might do, if there's a West Coast game, which there will be, they'll do a West Coast game that time. So I don't think we would be playing at 9. Hey, if they tell us to play at 8 a.m., we're showing up.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I think
actually, I would love a morning ball game. How about it?
I don't think our players would like it, but it would be interesting. You know, I was talking to David Stearns yesterday, who's the Mets are obviously here, and our former GM is in town, and he was talking about the potential that they have to go back to Atlanta on Monday for a doubleheader, and then, you know, potentially play us or another team on Tuesday. So that could wreck, you know, havoc with their pitching staff. So, you know, the hurricane is definitely causing some interesting repercussions this weekend and Monday. So we'll see how it plays out.
Talking with the Brewers' Rick Schlesinger. Rick, Eric and I have been reading that there is a possibility the commissioner would step in and say, all right, you don't have to play those final two games. You don't have to play that doubleheader.
If it was just a seeding determination.
I got to tell you, as a fan, look, we as fans invested in our ballpark. We as fans decided to put a roof on our ballpark. That's a competitive advantage for our team. I want those guys to play those games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's just a seeding, I think you guys are right. I think they would not make them fly to Atlanta for those games. We'll deal with whatever cards were dealt. It's just, you know, it's sort of wild. It's, you know, baseball postseason gets really crazy when you've got all these teams trying to vie for these spots, and it makes it fun. You know, the one guy I feel sorry for is Dan Larea, our traveling secretary, who's got to figure out all the, you know, repercussions of travel for all of us and all the hotels, because, you know, assume we win the wild card series, then we have to go on and play the division series. We still don't know who that's going to be, and it's fun, but it makes for a lot of logistical nightmare.
How are tickets looking right now?
Good. We still have some tickets left for these games, mostly in the terrace level, but they're moving very quickly, and both games will sell out, and obviously if there's a third game, that will sell out. We're certainly have some tickets left to go. So, we're making moves to get those done and get those sold. And we want people not only to buy the tickets, but show up. Obviously, if the game time wreaks havoc with people's schedule, we understand that. But, you know, hey, if you bought tickets and you can't come, send those tickets to a friend who can, because we want, you know, 42,000 people here screaming for the Brewers.
You can come. It's baseball in Milwaukee. You tell the boss, look, I got to go see my team in the playoffs, period. Write him a note or whatever you got to do, Rick, right?
Yeah, I'll, if I need to write a, you know, excuse letter for somebody, I'll do that. But you're absolutely right. This is, we can't take for granted being in the postseason every year. And it's special times. And you're right. The good thing about us is, regardless of what the weather's going to be like, you know, it's going to be very temperate and very comfortable inside American Family Field.
Hey, real quick, too, Rick. A lot of reason to still head out the yard for this final homestand against the Mets. Somebody's going to win a car tomorrow night?
Yep, it's Fan Appreciation Night, and traditionally a car, Toyota Corolla, is being given away. We've got vouchers for everybody who shows up for free tickets for next year midweek games, and we've got a lot of jerseys and autograph items, a lot of special prizes. So, yeah, it's always fun to celebrate the fans this year more than ever because they've supported us all along, and we've got more games to play. But, yeah, this Saturday is going to be a fun night at the ballpark.
All right, looking forward to all of it. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Idea Man.
Eric, 10 picks is a ton of picks, but how am I going to argue with math?
Innovator.
Xavier McKinney has proven, you know, he's showcased himself in a big way.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
And now he's on track to blow through years. Is that going to be accurate then if it's at 16? Is your 10 really that bold?
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services.
All right, Tausch. Badgers, Trojans, L.A. Memorial Coliseum tomorrow afternoon. That's got to be kind of cool, right, to broadcast a game from that venue?
Yeah, I think that's obviously some of the cool stuff about, you know, this job that I have with Matt LaPay now is, you know, being able to go. Obviously, Camp Randall's great, and we get to do a ton of games there. But, you know, being able to go, and especially this is USC's first home game as a Big Ten team. It's still kind of weird to me to kind of piece all that together as far as the UCLA and USC and Oregon and Washington are all part of the Big Ten. But yeah, this is one of those places we practiced here when we played in the Rose Bowl. We would practice at the Coliseum, and I always remember walking in and just thinking, there's a lot of history in this building, and the fact that tomorrow afternoon will be sold out with that atmosphere, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge, no question, for the team. But for me personally, I think it's really cool to be able to call a game and be a part of it. It's such a, you know, historic and legendary venue.
Do they play Build Me Up Buttercup during USC games? Do we know?
You know what? I have to admit, I've done some prep. I have not. I don't know. I know they're not doing jump around. I'm not sure the stadium is built for that. But Build Me Up Buttercup, I don't know. I know Mr. Brightside has become a big song that people have done too. I don't know all of the traditions. I think they ride in. There's a horse and a dude and, you know, swords and all this other stuff.
That part's cool. You know,
old school stuff.
They can't play anything else because that band never shuts up. It's the whole game.
Well, that's actually
right. That's exactly
pretty good.
Yeah. That's a good.
You're like that dude. You're like that dude from the Police Academy. I can do all those.
Tosh, you have no idea. You have. No
you're
idea.
Right, and I think I'm okay. That sometimes I'm okay not having any idea. But well, hopefully, when you know, it's obviously a big game for Wisconsin. And hopefully all that, whatever, I can't do it as good as Vinny. Hopefully that usually means big things are happening for USC, and hopefully that means it's very muted tomorrow afternoon.
Hey, Tausch, love that you guys got to have NFL Hall of Famer Charles Woodson on your show yesterday, you and Wildy. One of my favorite all-time Packers, and he had high praise for Eric's guy, McKinney.
He did indeed. Yeah, Wildy made some bold claims earlier on Boldathon. Obviously, we've already talked about Bilstead's great claim up to this point. And it was a couple of things that, you know, just if you guys had not been able to, I know you guys did, listen to Charles discuss that preparation and the fact that Xavier McKinney has kind of taken on that leadership role as a, you know, a fifth-year player, teaching guys watching film and all of those instincts, and the fact that Charles sees so much positive in how good of a football player he is already. And actually, I think Charles mentioned that his leadership and everything is actually way ahead of where he was at that point in his career. It got me fired up about this defense and what he can do. So yeah, Charles had a lot of glowing things, and I think everybody that has talked about Xavier McKinney has jumped on the Bilstead bandwagon that this dude's a pretty good player.
All right, Eric always asks you for a prediction. I'll be one who says, how do we finish things give us a Badgers and a Packers.
Okay, so Badgers, I think it's, you know, it's obviously a huge game. I always think we're going to win. As far as Green Bay goes, I think it's going to be really a tricky game because, you know, if Jordan Love ends up playing, which I think he will. Boy, that is annoying. Can't wait to hear that all day tomorrow. Crank it up a little bit so I really can't think. I think it's going to be a really hard-fought slog. I think offensively, Green Bay, it's going to take a little bit. Late Narvison field goal for Green Bay to win by one.
Oh, phenomenal finish. That'll all right, Tausch. Fun. Can't wait to talk about it on Monday. Thanks, my friend.
Good see ya.
Oh, what are you doing?
I told you that was dead on.